and welcome to the 12th season of AFL Tonight. This is ArenaFan.com's weekly look at everything arena football. My name is Tim Capper, for those of you who have may not listened to us in years past. I am joined by my great co-host, Adam Markowitz. Welcome to the 2012 season.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like a slow off season, to be honest with you, this year, but, you know, it's always good to have some football back. We're taping on Tuesday, so last night was the first sniff we had of arena football in the last, let's see here, what, the Arena Bowl was in August, so six months.
Yep, and a lot has happened. I mean, some things, you know, you look at a lot of the stuff, Adam, and it's some things that we have, I guess with the new AFL that we have come to, it's become the norm as of late. You know, the league is now back. Headquarters is back in Chicago after the, dare we say, demise or moving of the Tulsa Talons over to San Antonio. And it's something we'll talk about is these one-year contracts. You know, again, like I mentioned last year, you're going to need a scorecard just to know where everybody is located.
Including the teams in their divisions.
Including the teams in their divisions, exactly. I mean, it's as much as I like the sport of arena football, it can be frustrating as a fan. And I'll give an example. I don't know what you think about this. You know, look at how Aaron Garcia finished the season last year, probably one of the most memorable games in Arena Football League history, especially for a championship. And then to be basically plucked away and head to San Antonio. How do the Sharks fans think that they could even have a possible chance at winning another championship this year?
Look at what's in the rest of the rest of the South, and then maybe they'll have a
good
bit
point.
Of a,
you know, it's true, but it's just a matter of having your championship quarterback being ripped out from you, how that demoralizing that could be.
Yeah, but you know, for Garcia, it tends to make a little bit of sense. We know he's a more of a West Coast guy than an East Coast guy. Mm-hmm. So this brings him closer to home, gives him a chance to. I don't know what he's trying to accomplish here, but it's you know, just like he was in Jacksonville, totally new team. You know, brought a lot of his teammates with him. You know, the argument could be made that this was the team that was built for Aaron Garcia. And, you know, Jacksonville, though, was a great fit for him. I don't necessarily think it was a team that was built for him.
Right.
Whereas it looks like this roster is one that is really built, that was really built with the idea of, okay, Aaron Garcia is going to be the quarterback of this team. It's not going to work with Mark Grieve. It's not going to work with Nick Hill. It's not going to work with anybody else. This is, you know, Aaron Garcia's team.
And this will be the first time that a team has actually played inside the Alamo Dome, and a team in Arena Football League in San Antonio in 20 years.
And I'm willing to bet you that as long as Aaron Garcia is quarterback, they're not going to get shut out by anybody.
No. For those of you who don't know, who haven't been following Arena Football, or don't know that much of the history, and it's 25 years.
And where have you been?
Yeah. The San Antonio Force was the only team to get shut out in AFL League history by the Orlando Predators by a score of 50-0.
And I was there. And I was 7 years old, and I was there.
Man. And you're in your 40s now, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that. I may be becoming a married man, but that doesn't mean I've aged that much.
Right, exactly. Stay young at heart, my friend. That's all you got to remember. So it's going to be an interesting year. And again, as I just mentioned briefly, it's the 25th anniversary of all these things that have popped up recently. You've had the league, the best logos in league history. You've had the best uniforms in league history. I guess they've called this the year of the fan this year. We've always been supposed to be a fan friendly league anyway. So I'm curious to know what the league is going to do to recognize the fans this year. And funny, Adam, they also brought back something they haven't brought back since the beginning, I think, of the NBC TV era. They kind of brought back the brown leather balls.
I know. What a novelty concept, a brown football.
I'll be honest with you. I know it's not. Will. I think it was Wilson who made the balls prior. I really wish that they had gone back to the two-tone balls. I loved the two-tone balls. I understand it's a gimmick thing for the 25th anniversary, but, you know, I guess instead of having to grab all those AF2 balls that either have a signature of the old commissioner or no signature, whatever the balls that's coming into, you know, those pale balls coming into the stands, you'll have another something else to fight for. So, or buy in my case, or gets given to.
Yeah, you're not catching too many.
I'm not catching too many
from Quebec. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's gonna be an interesting season. We have a long way to go, all the way to the Arena Bowl. A lot more could happen. But let's just go ahead and get started. There's a few things that did happen over the offseason that we want to get everybody caught up on. Besides the huge roster changes, and I think one of the few things that really stood out this past season, because usually when there is a change in any of the rules of any sort, Adam, and as you've seen, as you know in the past, they usually will promote something like this. This rule change itself only came to fruition or came to be known because it was actually posted on the Arizona Rattlers message board. And it has to do with, and I've actually coined it, the three and done rule, or the three and out rule. You know, it's sort of, you know, they say it's, you know, like they do with drunk driving, you have three and you lose your driver's license, that type of thing. Defensive linemen now this year, if they have three offsides, they will be ejected from the game completely. But it's weird how it occurs too. So first time, okay, it's a 5-yard penalty. Second time, no matter when it occurs, so Adam, if you yourself have two back-to-back encroachments or offside penalties, you're gone for the half. So you could be in for two plays, two defensive offsides, you're gone.
But you still make your $400.
You still make $400, that's right. But then, as soon as the second half starts, your third chance, if you have one, if you have an offsides again, you're gone for the game. You are and the league has used this word that you are ejected from the game.
Wonder what happens if you get your second offsides in the second half and the game goes to overtime.
Well, if it's I think
you get to play overtime.
Well, remember, you have to reach three. So if you only have
one... No, but you said the second one you were suspended for a half.
Good point.
Because essentially at that point, in the second half, you only have two. You don't have three.
Okay, here's the actual terminology as it was listed, by the way. This actually answers the question. When a defensive lineman jumps offside for the first time, he gets a 5-yard penalty. If he does it a second time in the first half, that player must sit out for the rest of the half.
Okay.
Any offsides penalty after that means an automatic ejection. So I'm guessing it's still a three and out rule.
So okay.
You do once in the first half, okay, 5-yard penalty. But you do it twice after. Oh, you know what? That's a good question. I guess it's only saying it's pertaining to the first half. If you jump offsides twice, you're gone.
Yeah, and there's also something else awfully. You know, there's a couple things awfully ambiguous in this because, you know. Does it actually state defensive lineman?
It actually says, according to how it was listed on the Rattlers Facebook page, it actually says defensive lineman.
Yeah, because I mean, is a Mac linebacker considered a lineman? What happens if a defensive back happens to do it? And the other thing that I've got is there's a big difference between, you know, offsides encroachment and illegal formation. Because how often do you see a guy, you know, especially a nose who's got to be lined up directly over the ball,
mm-hmm.
go to make his first move? Yeah, he may be offside, but it's also an illegal formation because he's no longer just over the nose.
And what are they going to call when somebody's in the neutral zone?
That's encroachment.
Yeah.
So I would assume that would go under the offsides.
Offsides, yeah.
Thing.
I think
don't worry, inevitably we're going to see this screwed up by so many refs.
Well, they have, you know, there's rumors going on through the outseason that this was being dubbed unofficially the Tim McGill rule. And what I think was funny is that, and now you know, we at AFL Tonight were trying to get some information on, you know, how many players actually would have been ejected in 2011 if this had occurred. I wasn't able to get that much information. I wasn't able to get anything officially from the league, but I wasn't able to, I was able to get some sort of stats. I was able to go through at least Tim McGill. Because
he's the important one.
Yeah, I
don't even have to look. He had to have had more offsides penalties than anybody else in the league last year, and he didn't even play the whole season.
Exactly. He only started in week 5 versus Philadelphia.
And I'm sure he wouldn't have lasted the first half in that game.
Guess what? He didn't. Tim McGill was actually, he actually had 4 first half, do we dare say, suspensions, we'll put it that way. So he jumped twice within the first half, and he was ejected twice. He would have been ejected twice.
I just think this is going to be so funny. I mean, this goes back to my, you know, how to cheat, you know, how to take advantage of the AFL rules. Mm-hmm. Why would you ever snap the football? Just go up to the line of scrimmage and go hut, 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 and wait until somebody jumps. You know, if you get enough defensive linemen kicked out of the game, eventually you're going to have backup quarterbacks and kickers playing on the defensive line.
Or they're going to do the what is it? I don't know what term they call it, but it's the stop. Is it they call it a stop and go yo-yo, where you're doing forward motion toward the line of scrimmage, then all of a sudden stop to try.
I mean, I it seems, and you know what? What's the worst thing that happens? You get hit with a 5-yard penalty for delay a game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll sit there and go back and forth, you know, offsides for false start, my offense or delay a game. You know, my offensive linemen aren't getting ejected for moving, but your defensive linemen are.
And I still think usually when you think of the term ejected, it's for obviously for a personal foul, but being ejected for 3 offsides, it seems a little harsh. I mean,
even the CFL calls it disqualification.
Yeah, now I know. But you know, there's some side of a loony rule like this, and I just don't like the way that this rule is being spelled out. I mean, I would love to find out how many times in last year there was either offsides or encroachment.
Now, I would still, you know, more importantly than that is the fact that we've only seen this on a Facebook page,
yeah,
or a message board, whatever it was, and for one team. There hasn't been a lot of, you know, people talk, and, you know, sometimes as media people we find out things. And sometimes we can use them, and sometimes we can't use them because, you know, to protect our people. But, you know, normally when something very drastic happens, there's at least some sort of grumbling about it. And though we may not be able to say, you know, who we've spoken to, we can at least say, hey, at least somebody's been talking about it.
It's true.
I haven't heard anybody talking about
this. Well, remember, this thing did not actually come from a person, from a poster like you and me would on Facebook. This actually came from whoever posted on the Rattlers Facebook page. Posted this themselves.
It's still one team. It's not every team. We still haven't heard it from the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, last night's scrimmage didn't tell us much because I don't know if they were even really keeping track of penalties.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Orlando scrimmage Tampa Bay last night down in on the Gulf Coast and at the newly renamed Tampa Bay Times Forum. Which has a really cool organ now, by the way.
Does it? New scoreboard too, I think, right?
No, they have a man-made lightning generator for the lightning. I'm actually going on Friday. So.
Interesting. Okay.
But anyway, that happened last night. I don't even know whether I know they weren't keeping really track of time. I know they were not formally keeping track of score,
mm-hmm.
though we do know that Orlando
won by 11, 12,
won with 43-32 or 42-31,
something
like that. In a game that, for all accounts, was pretty sloppy, but I mean, I don't know what else we would expect at that point. So I don't know what we're going to see on March 9th. Are we going to see, you know, somebody on either Pittsburgh or Orlando jump off sides 3 times and really get tossed? It'll be really interesting.
I think
this will be like the instant replay thing. It's only good for NFL Network games.
And you know what's funny is that how this goes now is that if, and it goes back to what we've been mentioning for years. If there was an official rule book out there where we could actually see the explanation.
Yeah, no.
You just actually reminded me something. We'll go to that next. Actually, I'm going to make one correction for you. NFL, all games this year are having instant replay.
No, I know. I'm making the...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Maybe it's only Arizona games that have, you know, that have this penalty.
Yeah. Anything west of the Mississippi.
If they can call it the Arizona Rattler and Tim McGill rule.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll eject Tim McGill and anybody on the Rattlers' defensive line.
We will find out, if anything, we'll find out first thing on that first game.
This really is a case that defensive linemen can't move. How much more time are you going to give quarterbacks to sit back there and pick defenses apart?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when are you just going to give, you know, like, I don't even remember who told me this last year, but somebody said last year it felt like the only way a defensive back had a shot in this league is if he carried a taser with him. what more can you do to punish defenses in this league?
Well, it seems like anything they can at the moment. It's.
I mean, it's almost like, why don't you just let him play, you know, 8-on-6 or something? You know, it's kind of what it feels like. You're really taking those three defensive linemen totally out of the game.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a speed rush anymore.
I really want to – I don't know. Maybe the league is going to try this. I mean, there aren't any games where they can – you know, any exhibition games where they can really try these new rules out.
That's what the preseason used to be.
I really think that this is a rule that I would not be surprised if it is rescinded – halfway through the season, done quietly as it has been so far that this new rule has come out.
Oh yeah, we'll figure it out because we'll beat a game and all of a sudden somebody will, you know, or we'll see it on TV and one of the NFL network guys will say, well, isn't that his third offsides? It should be ejected and then somebody's going to get in his ear.
Yeah,
or Kurtz is going to come on TV or whatever. But yeah, no, to me, this is, can I say dumbass on this show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. This is the most dumbass rule since the clock running before the kickoff.
Yeah, yes.
Back in the, late 90s?
Yeah.
Maybe. That was right around the same time they came out with the other really asinine offsides rule of every offside is a first down.
Yeah, yeah. There are tweaks. I mean, I will admit, every league seems to make tweaks and stuff like that, and they will, you know, they'll try it as a one-year thing. You know, it's... This rule, as I said, I want to see the numbers. You know, I'm a numbers guy. I know you're a numbers guy. I want to see specifically how many times there was offsides last season. You know, you can't just go based on Tim McGill. If that's the case, if you look what we've seen here in the games that he was only ejected or almost ejected. Okay, so he 3, 6, 7, 8. He was offsides or encroachment 10 times. One rule for one guy for 10 times?
Well, remember that the offsides rule that I alluded to before where it was an automatic first down for an offsides, that was the James Barron rule.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it was known as. It was the James Barron rule. Mm-hmm. The modern-day James Barron is Tim McGill.
I just want some clarification. I don't think we may not get it. We can still try, which I'm going to do, but... I just do not see us getting any more clarification on this rule until it actually gets explained.
No, not unless perhaps – I mean, even if the league office really gets it and knows what's going on, it doesn't mean the coaches, you know, really totally know what's going on. So that'll probably be where we do hear about this is when we talk to, you know, some coaches and we actually see this in, you know, in force in real games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay, and you happen to be mentioning about the NFL Network. There actually was a minor change when it came. Oh, there's good Southern boy coming out there. When it comes
to... How many thousands of miles away from
the South? Yeah, I know, eh? When it comes to our online partner for the league, Nifty was dumped. The league signed a 2-year contract with Ustream. There has been a team-specific page set up for every single team in the league on Ustream, so all the games will be broadcast directly through there. If you want to see the links or want to know where the pages are, they are already available on the ArenaFan.com web links page. Just head to our front page, go to the links bar, and go down to where it says web links, and you'll see one with every right up next to every official page. I don't know what the quality is going to be like on this, Adam. I guess the only – this is one – the one plus for this is that you are able to – you will be able to see more games via your mobile phones and stuff like that. I don't know if Ustream has an app specifically for Android and for Windows phones and for iPhone. But I know they specifically said in the actual press release they were talking about mobile. So if you're able to access a direct link from your mobile phone – you'll be able to watch your game wherever you are, so to speak. You could be in the middle of the boonies. Oh, my God, I'm going to miss the New Orleans-Cleveland game. And you're out in the middle of nowhere. Oh, I can watch the game. I mean, we know social media is everything these days. We know it's all about promotion. It's Facebook. It's Twitter. It's Instagram. You name it. So, I mean, is it a plus or a minus? I said, we don't know what the quality is going to be like yet. I know Ustream has been out there for a while. Nifty, the good thing about Nifty is that it was all games were available in one central location. So the league has said that I think that they're going to be setting up one central location where you can click on every single and watch every single game that is currently available besides on their specific team pages. Plus, and same thing that like last year, no NFL Network games will be broadcast or archived on Ustream.
Yeah, I mean, until we see it, it's hard to kind of say a whole heck of a lot of it. I mean, we all kind of – I mean, I just hope we don't have to sit through that damn introduction anymore every time we go to change the channel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
You know, it's like if somebody says to me, we're in the chat room and they're saying, look at this play that's about to happen in Spokane. You know, it's fourth down and this is about to happen. You know, turn it on real quick. Real quick. 3 minutes later after we're done watching this dumbass introduction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing that I do know about when you go to the Ustream page, I do know that there is usually an ad that they will play. It's one 15 to 30 second ad, and then it goes directly to the stream itself.
Yeah, you see that on YouTube all the time.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I guess the positive is that you can now watch. You'll be able to watch the games almost anywhere you are. You're sitting at a game. You know, let's say for instance you're covering one of the games, and for whatever reason you want to catch up on another one, or there's another game. Let's say Orlando and Tampa are playing. You know, same night. One's on another team on the East Coast playing another team on the East Coast, and you want to watch the game. You'll be able to on your PC.
And presumably, what. I mean, I would assume with every team having a different pages, you'll mm-hmm. actually be able to watch more than one game at a time.
Exactly. That too. You'll be able to open up more than one browser and be able to watch more than one game at one time.
Yeah, so when the league has the bright idea, to put every single game on at 7:30 on a Friday, you can watch them all.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a barter for higher thing when it came to Nifty, or if it, when it came to ads and stuff like that, and but overall, I think the change from what I've seen with the quality for some of the stations on Ustream, Adam, I think it can be a positive. I think the mobile aspect of it will be a huge difference for a lot of the fans in the league.
Yeah, because everybody, I mean, even me and my not so technological self is running on an Android right now.
Yeah, and so we'll be able to. Be able to watch a game without having to be limited to only watching one game at one time. When it came to the Nifty, application.
So it sounds great, to be really nifty, but I don't know if it's going to be, such as easy of a new thing to like as, getting rid of the old stat software was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Hey, no DAC stats again this year. That's good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That year one.
Nightmare.
Yeah, huge nightmare. We were talking about this being the 25th anniversary of the league. Actually, did you know, Adam, and I'm trying to go back, it was actually just a couple days ago. Actually, it was Monday. This past Monday.
You mean yesterday?
Yes.
Well, it's yesterday to us. Yes. I don't know, whenever you all are listening to it.
25th anniversary of the showcase game.
Cool.
Over the Rosemont Horizon, which is now the Allstate Arena.
Is that what became Allstate Arena?
I think so.
Okay.
Wherever the Rush plays. So it's 25 years. I mean, people who've been following the league all this time, I'm like, I know some people who went to the showcase game.
I was two, so I wasn't.
Yeah. Ready. I think, if I remember correctly, Bruiser went to the showcase game.
That's very cool.
If I remember correctly.
That's something to be, yeah, that's something to be proud of.
I agree, yeah.
Say you've been around, so, you know, it's kind of like Coach Owensy.
Mm-hmm.
He's every year he's there.
Exactly.
Every year. There was never a doubt when he got fired or, you know, whatever the case was in Philadelphia that, mm-hmm. that he was going to land somewhere in some respect.
Exactly. No, it's true. Yeah. Played ever in every year that the yep. league has been around. Every year the league has played.
Yeah.
So. But with it being the 25th anniversary, and it's something that has finally been announced, and I think it's, you know, it's like the league finally coming back with the Hall of Fame inductions last year.
And getting it absolutely right, might I add.
Yes, 100%.
Hey, all 10 of those guys deserve to go in.
100%. The AFL alumni has finally been formed. And I'm surprised that there wasn't something before this. I mean, considering the amount of players, whether you were somebody who just played for one season on a team, or somebody who was one of the huge names in league history, you know there's information out there saying that this is going to be the alumni is something that is actually going to be a group for former players within the league. And you know, they're supposed to be getting some perks, I guess. I mean, it's not like from anything that I could see out of the ordinary that they're going to be getting. But what's interesting is, and as I think it's very fitting, let me head over to they have a Facebook page, but it's only invite only, by the way. So it is a private page. But the vice president is George LaFrance. Sorry, LaFrance. My French was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on. Here it is. And the president, and I should know this. I should know who this is. And I don't.
Sorry, Tim, I can't help
no,
you.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm not cool enough to be on that Facebook page.
Ah, you're cool enough. I know who this is. It just totally escaped me. I really apologize, you guys out there. I should know who this is. Where's the information for this page? I don't see it. Anyways, it's now available. But this is something that should have been around years ago. And, I mean, I know you know quite a few players over the years, and it's, I mean, how would you feel after all these years finally being recognized and having a group where everybody could officially meet? I guess they're now going to be recognized by the league, unless, you know, if you're not on any of those greatest hits, you know, greatest players lists, then, you know, what about me type of thing. But, I mean, but what do you think? I mean, if you were a former player, I mean, what would you think?
You know, it's hard because the league, you know, there's a big difference between what this league did for a guy like Kurt Warner versus what this league did for, you know, I'll take a name that I know was only on the Predators for 1 year, Matt Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Man, maybe it was 2 years, but whatever it was, he wasn't there very often, you know, for very long. You know, for a lot of these guys who have basically just kind of kicked around minor league football for a while, the AFL was, you know, just another stop.
By the way, Freddie Gales. Freddie Gales is the president.
But you know, so I mean, sure, is it cool to see, you know, that the Shredrick Bonners and the Mike Pulaskis and all those guys. Yeah, that's great. But, you know, what would I think if I were a guy who played in, you know, six different leagues over the course of my career? I don't know if the AFL becomes a big deal to me at that point.
Okay. That's true. You have some of the ones that went on to bigger and better things. Kurt Warner. I mean, obviously, you have the ones former AFL players are now playing and doing quite well in the CFL. You have ones that have obviously graduated on to the NFL.
Yeah, and they went to the UFL, mm-hmm. and obviously in the IFL or the Deuce, or you know any you know NFL Europe when that was around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just don't know. I mean, I would think that there is a you know, a certain, you know, if you're, you know, a lifer, more or less.
Yes.
You know, if you were Eddie Brown, or if you were
Barry Wagner.
Yeah. You know, any of these guys, you know, that this would be a cool thing. But I would think it's a lot different. You know, even if you're the guy who played five snaps in the NFL, you'll always be able to say you were in the NFL. And that's something. But, you know, you know, that's not the type of thing where you're going to be 75 years old and you're going to be saying, you know, your grandkids, I was in the AFL for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, who knows, you know, what's going to, I mean, I don't know, maybe the AFL will be something tremendous in another 20 years or something like that.
Well, also, you want to make sure that they don't say you were in the American Football League for 1 year.
Yeah.
But now, here's the devil advocate in me, and just thinking about this. If this had not been the 25th anniversary of the league, would the AFL Alumni Association have come to fruition?
I don't know. The AFL has seemed to. I'm pretty documented that I don't give a lot of credit to the league mm-hmm. generally for the way things have run, so that's not really a surprise. If you didn't know any better, just keep listening. I'm sure you'll figure out that I'm generally not overly happy with the way things have kind of gone in the league. But I will say this: they seem to have at least embraced a piece of the history.
Yes.
You know, they with the Hall of Fame and with you know, I mean, I don't know what the league actually put into the Alumni Association, but it does seem like, you know, that the front office of the league or, you know, whatever powers it be of the league are making some sort of an effort, which is a lot more than what we can say from, you know, the Elway days. There was so often, how many years did we go without the Hall of Fame? You know, how many years did we go where it seemed like, you know, ancient history was when the Philadelphia Soul came into the league because mm-hmm. that's all, you know, NBC and all them wanted to recognize. So I think that part of it's really cool. And it was, you know, the best part probably about that trip to the Arena Bowl last year was, you know, talking to some of those guys, talking to George LaFrance, knowing that he was going to be you know, inducted into the Hall of Fame, and, mm-hmm. and that list of those 10 names is just it was very nostalgic, I guess.
Very, no, very. I mean, it was something that came about that was long, long overdue.
Yeah, I mean, the Predators used to have something. You know, they used to have their what do they call it? Ring of Honor mm-hmm. or something like that they had, and I mean, names that were in there, I mean, obviously Barry Wagner was in there, Durwood Rockmore was in there, Herky Walls. They put Fran Popsadero in there after he died. Goodness, Paul McGowan was in there. You know, just these – I know a lot of these names, you know, don't mean a lot to you know, unless you're an old-school Predator fan. It was really heartbreaking to me to see that come down. And they took it down in, I don't know, 06, 07, something like that. And it wasn't heard from again after that. And they still haven't, you know, they didn't take it to the new arena. But things like that, I'm a big history guy with this league. I'm all about the history of it. So it's good to see, you know, it's good to see that, you know, even though we don't have Iron Man football anymore, that we're still able to recognize someone like a Barry Wagner who was, I mean, I'll say was the best Iron Man in league history. I don't know, Hunky Cooper might not like me too much, but
funny, and it's funny you mentioned Barry Wagner, and I was going to joke about this when I'm all saying it. If the league just does happen to come up with a 25th anniversary best of team, who do you think's going to be number one? This time around,
yeah.
So it's
John Elway.
Yeah, John Elway. No. No, the Colorado Crush. No.
First team quarterback, John Elway. Second team quarterback, Ron Jaworski.
Sure.
First team wide receiver, Lynn Swann.
Well, you know, so far I haven't been too disappointed with Lynn Swann.
No, I think the Power did a really, really good job last year. I mean, the proof will be in the pudding, you know, this year. Mm-hmm. You know, what was it, a 1 year thing, or was mm-hmm. it, is this something that's actually going to stick around in Pittsburgh? You know, and really, really take off, and it could. The potential is definitely there. It's definitely a football city.
Yes.
The question is whether the fans will embrace this game in the second year as they did in the first year, and of course, what happens if Pittsburgh doesn't play so well, and then, you know, it could be, who knows? But I mean, yeah, 1 year was a great thing for the Power. They were one of the better attendance teams. They had some great games too, which really helped there too.
You have to win too, you know. I mean, obviously, if Pittsburgh's able to support a team like the Pittsburgh Pisces, you know, the fish that saves Pittsburgh, then they would. You have no clue what I'm talking about, do you?
I do have no clue what you're talking about.
Oh wow, okay.
I have zero ties to the city of Pittsburgh.
No, I know, no. But it's actually really bad reference. Just go to internet, the IMDb.com, and type in The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. It was a basketball movie where Pittsburgh had an NBA franchise and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was on the team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's basically Major League for basketball. Anyway, okay. A bad reference. I'm saying you have to win. In Pittsburgh, you have to win, and that's a game.
Yeah, look at the Pirates.
Exactly, yeah. And they only have, just under a 40,000-seat stadium, if I remember correctly.
And it's brand new.
Basically brand new, correct. Yeah, that's true. Now, you talk about players, you know, finally being, you know, given the I don't want to call it respect, but finally given the accolades that they should, that they deserve because they are former players. Man, it didn't really matter for them how much they were being paid as a player. You know, we have ones going all the way back to the original AFL where they were being paid $400 a game, a la now. And they, all the way up to the days where, you know, the salary cap was at $3.2 million, I think, if I remember correctly.
There were definitely six-figure salaries, yeah, and we were again talking about salaries, not, you know, these somewhat fluctuating amounts of money that can be earned.
Yeah, and now it's totally changed. Now, last year there was the marketing player. I think it was a maximum of three players. You could lose it if you left the team or something, whatever occurred, and you were paid an X amount per game. This year, it looks like the salary structure has been totally revamped, and from what I have heard, much to the chagrin of a lot of the players, there is a lot of grumbling about how this is actually being worked and how it's being, I guess, being managed. But this year, it is basically as follows. $400 for a win for any player, okay? So, and any player right now has an asterisk by it. Any player, plus you get a $50 win bonus. I guess if you lose Adam, you're going to lose $50, right?
revenue neutral,
right? Yeah. It goes into the...
that really would be something.
It goes into the league pot.
I guess the players could look at it and say they get 425 as a base, and they get an extra 25 if they win, and they lose the 25 if they lose.
Yeah, I guess so.
That could make them feel better.
Yeah, I guess so. Then, the marketing player has been replaced by a starting quarterback salary only. And I think this is where this is irking a lot of people. Basically, what's happening is that if you are considered a starting quarterback on any team within the within an hour before game time that you are considered the starter, and so you're not a backup, you're not a third string, but you're on there, you're on the roster as a quarterback.
You're not a fullback who's just happening to take the first snap.
Exactly. You are considered the starting quarterback for the game. You are did I miss anything else? You're on the 21-man roster, listed on team's roster as quarterback. No, I got everything. You are going to earn $1,275 a game.
Yeah. It's, you know, what do you tell the wide receiver that was making $1,000 a week last year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you tell, pick any of them, you know, any of the great receivers that were making big bucks last year, you know.
I'm guessing. I'll throw Damien Harrell out there, but I don't know if he was a marketing player or not.
I think Donovan Morgan was one of the ones that was officially listed as a marketing player once upon a time. But yeah, I mean, I get the league's perspective, but I am very questioned about this. You know, the league is smart enough to understand that if you don't have quarterbacks, this league is not going to work.
Which is, we saw that quite a bit last year.
And we've seen it over the course of the last 2 years where, you know, you look at there was clearly a difference between the teams that could and the teams that could not, and the teams that could not are the teams that just didn't have quarterbacks.
Right.
I'm sorry, you know, it wasn't an accident that Milwaukee all of a sudden became a competent team last year when they got a competent quarterback. Now, that's not to say we knew that Gino Gaudioli was going to come in and be a stud.
Right.
But, you know, we also didn't know who Justin Allgood really was. We also, you know, look at Nick DeVila. We really, I mean, short of, you know, the AF2 guys, at the AFL level, we didn't know whether he was going to work or not. And, you know, like I said, with Allgood, worked like a charm in 2010. He's not even on a roster now because of how badly he did in 2011. I mean, he was basically jettisoned out of Philadelphia.
Right.
But what's puzzling to me about this is you look at the names that are in the league. This seemed like it was a design to get Matt D'Orazio back in the league, to get Brett Dietz back in the league, to get I don't remember. God, give me some other names here.
Tony Graziani.
Yeah, well, maybe not Tony Graziani. You know, any of those names that were the at least pretty good to, if not really good, quarterbacks from 08.
Yeah.
And so now, at the same time, I question where these quarterbacks are because they're not in the league at this point. And you also have one of the starting quarterbacks in the playoffs last year in Nick Hill, who's now in the NFL somehow. I don't totally know how the Packers bought into that one, but whatever. And you've still got a lot of teams out there that, you know, any arena football fan from the last couple of years can just look and go, ooh, that team's in trouble because who they're paying $12.75 a week to.
Right.
And odds have it with those teams, you're going to see three or four different guys over the course of the year collecting that bigger paycheck.
Yeah, and, you know, is it going to be a given that these quarterbacks are going to come out of the woodwork? No. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that these teams are going to do any much better. I mean, the problem is you can still have some of these no-name guys that do well, but then again, you may have some of these guys who come in who just really stunk up the joint last year or was just there as a patchwork for whatever reason, because of injuries or whatnot. I mean, look at the few teams last year that had more than three quarterbacks starting.
Tampa Bay used five different starting quarterbacks last year, and that doesn't even include Jevin Snead, who was the guy who was originally supposed to be the starting quarterback.
Right,
to the team.
Right. So, will the 1270 pull them in? I think it'll keep them there. But as you're seeing now with the way that everybody keeps, you know, these one-year contracts and everybody basically is a free agent, they can go wherever they want. There's no reason for a quarterback to stay where he is because he's getting paid
the same amount of money.
And I'm going to say it this way on purpose. He is officially getting paid $1,275 a game.
As long as he starts.
As long as he starts.
So he's got to be in a team, you know, that he knows he's going to start for.
Exactly. So, and, you know, why would any fan want to, you know, continue to be a fan, you know, to support a team if they feel that, you know, if any player, quarterback or whatever, doesn't seem to have any ties to the city, doesn't have any loyalty to the city?
Well, that's why you see you're seeing a lot more, not necessarily 100% local guys, but more regional guys. There are exceptions to every rule, and there are a lot of exceptions to this, but I would take a guess that if you looked at the rosters in another week and a half, that probably, I don't know, 50% of the players are going to be playing within 100 to 150 miles of where I went to college or their hometown.
Right.
It's – and in fairness, that's how the AFL worked back in the day. I mean, I remember I used to go to Predator games, and it felt like 90% of the roster went to college at either Florida, Florida State, or UCF.
Right.
And then there was the one guy who went to Alabama A&M.
Right. No, it's true. No, I fully understand.
A&M was Barry Wagner.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
It's true, you know, but you see some of these players go where they are. You know, they officially are being played, but what is another reason? I mean, you're a second string quarterback. Quarterback X, quarterback one gets hurt, and you're coming in for $400 a game. You know, I guess
I don't know if that's totally.
Remember, according to these rules that we've been privy to, that we've seen, you have to be listed as a starting quarterback 1 hour prior to the game.
Oh, you're talking about getting hurt in that game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, but the next week, you know, theoretically.
Theoretically.
Even though I that still looks ambiguous. I've looked at the same thing that Tim is reading, and there's a clause on there that says, I don't have it. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
That very last sentence on there?
Injured reserve is based on the player's compensation at time of injury.
Yeah, so it's a little ambiguous. Does that mean that you know, it doesn't say that there's only one player that's eligible for this. So if you have a quarterback that, you know, you have John Dutton last year who goes down in, what was it, week two or week three or whatever it was. Is he making $12.75 a week the rest of the year, while at the same time Kurt Rocco is also making $12.75?
Right.
I would think that's an interesting thing to kick around, even though I don't even know if the league has thought of an answer to that.
Well, it also may come to some of these teams, and we've seen with a lot of teams are doing stockpiling. We've seen that right now. We've seen that in Philadelphia. We've seen that in Arizona. We've seen this in San Jose. You know, $12.75 is that's what I mean. Officially, they're being paid $12.75. When we've talked about this in years past, so this is not something new. You know, there is a salary cap. Technically, you have 20. What are the rosters now? 22 players.
20 some.
I thought they were expanded last year.
Yes, they. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yep. So it's 21 players at $400, and then one player at $12.75.
Plus your injured guys, plus your
win bonus, your win bonus too,
and your win bonus,
and your win bonus. So, it's very possible. As I said, we've talked about it for years. The official numbers are out there, but everything may not be as it seems.
Well. I mean, if you...
As I said, we talked about it in years past, too. There's nothing that's saying that we can prove this. You know, it's like in the CFL, and I know, and anybody who's been listening for years knows I use CFL as a reference point, because it's happened there.
And God knows why I egg it on, but I do.
Yeah. The CFL had their type of marketing players also, but they were being paid salary plus... They've used many, many terms over the years, and we can call it a marketing player. We can call it a job. You know, they'd be paid extra money by the team, but it's not a part of the cap. You know, it's like part of the – I think it's certain things in the NFL that if you're on IR and you're considered a franchise player – this the Arena League did this too, where only half of the amount of the salary went towards the salary cap. Or hell, just throw the salary cap up in the air like they did in the NFL last year. Now all these teams are, you know, in dire straits because of all this money. But money seems to be going elsewhere to be able to pull these players in. You don't have these big names going in a certain place for any particular reason, especially, as you said, it's a regional league. So what incentive do I have to come for $400 besides living close to my home?
You know, there have got to be some other
variables.
I'll say objective and very reasonable theories.
Mm-hmm. And that's all we're talking about here, people. That's all they are, theories. So
yeah, I mean, look, we beat around the bush, but I'm assuming everybody insinuates, you know, kind of what we're talking about here. There may be some envelopes being passed between owners and players that may have some green things in them. But, you know, they're
sit down, join me at this table.
Yeah, something like that. But there are other really, really reasonable things. Obviously, you know, with $400 a week being, you know, relatively public information, if not 100% public information at this point, you know, these guys aren't living on that. They're not. I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess you could, you know, if you're a single guy, $400 a week, you make it on just fine. But it's also not $400 a week for the whole year. It's $400 a week for the you know, I don't even know whether they get paid for the bye weeks or not.
Good question.
Or you know, what goes on in the postseason or anything like that. But, you know, even at best, they get paid for, what, 27, 28 weeks? There's still half the year which you've got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, in Florida, the unemployment rate is ridiculously high right now. Whereas in, I don't know all the unemployment rates off the top of my head. But, you know, in some of the prairie states or things like that, their unemployment is a lot lower. So if you can find a job in that city, that may make you more inclined to want, you know, I mean, obviously it makes you more inclined to play for that team.
Right.
The other thing of it is, you know, when you're talking about Philadelphia, when you're talking about Chicago, when you're talking about, you know, to a lesser extent, Pittsburgh, when you're talking about, you know, Dallas not in the league anymore, but, you know, any of the bigger cities, there may be an allure to playing in those cities.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Florida, you don't pay income tax. In the state of Texas, you don't pay income tax. In the state of California, you're paying a ton of income tax.
That's true.
So, you know, there is definitely something to be said about all those factors. And to each player, that's their own, you know, their own choice, whether it's a job, whether it's the family, whether it's the, you know, the facilities that the teams can provide for training or living or whatever the case may be. But there are definitely other factors aside from just saying, you know, because if that were the case, we you know, theoretically should end up with a whole bunch of teams that go 9-9 over the course of the year.
Right.
And that clearly isn't the case.
No.
The good thing, too, is I think it tend to be kind of boring.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, I understand there were the haves and the have-nots last year, but at the end, look what we got.
Yeah.
You know, we got two damn good teams.
Yes, we did, and we ended up having one fantastic game.
Yeah. I mean, it was arguably one of the best football games ever.
Now, yes.
Forget about arena, college,
yes.
NFL, whatever. One of the best football games we've ever seen.
Yes. True.
Certainly in my lifetime. I mean, maybe the Rose Bowl in 05, maybe the Grey Cup in the one where Ricky Ray and AC were just totally going back and forth with each other all game.
I will go with, yeah, same thing. You know, I will go with the last Grey Cups, the Saskatchewan-Montreal series, you know, a couple years back.
Yeah, but that one ended on just a total abortion of a play. You're talking about the one with the field goal where the guy was
yeah,
offside?
Yeah. It's a game where anything can happen. But, yes, we've seen games where – I will go back to that game. I think the game was a blowout anyways. It's where the Toronto Argonauts had Rocket Ishmael as their returner. And I think they're playing Calgary for the Cup. And it's – there are those games, you know, where it is – you want – I want to see a game at a last-second touchdown for a win. I've seen many regular season games like that in any of the – many of the leagues that I've watched.
Hail Milty.
Yeah.
Anybody who has no clue what I'm talking about, just go to YouTube right now and just type in Hail Milty. You'll thank me later.
Mm-hmm. We had the it wasn't an ending, but we had the infamous Tony Graziani, I think it was a Graziani pass off the net.
Oh, why are you doing that to me?
Sorry. But I think, as you know, as things stick out in our mind in league history. So, yeah. What's funny, and something we weren't going to talk about just real quickly, Adam, you, for the first time ever, the league actually was offering a set of all NFL Network games on DVD.
Huh. That's complete news to me. I did not know that.
$99 for every single NFL Network game, including the playoff games and the Arena Bowl. You also got an Arena Bowl lanyard, and you got a program.
Hmm.
But, that's a positive, it's been getting blasted by the people who have bought it.
Okay.
Reason being is that it looks like it looked like the games are just taped onto a DVD like some people may do at home. And they put them together as a set. And sometimes,
now you know why they were only $99.
Yeah. Some of the games were not even playable, supposedly, by some people. Some games were not even there. Some of them had commercials, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Kudos to the league for starting this. Thumbs down to the people, for the league, for hiring whatever company it was that did this. If they were the ones who hired the company. This is something that we had never seen. I would love to get an official Arena Bowl game game DVD. They've done it for many things before in the past. They've done it for the Super Bowls. The entire games are now being put on DVD. The NFL can do this. Well, the Arena League should be able to do it too. Hell, they got the NFL Network as their broadcast partner.
Yeah, you figure they'd be able to get, what was it, Steve Sables, what was it, NFL Films, whatever it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was a great idea, but, I'm glad I didn't buy it. I had the game on tape still here on my PVR. I just got to transfer it over to DVD. And I have history, the history that was made. Speaking of different types of forms of advertising, multimedia and whatnot, it looks like the Philadelphia Soul, in their hindsight, have proved to everybody that they are going back to the Arena Bowl. I guess we could. They called it. I thought it was a great idea. It is a docu-mercial, as they coined. It's available on YouTube. You can actually go to our message boards over at arenafan.com, and the link is there. You can watch it in its entirety, if you can. great idea. I think somewhat of a poor execution, because it really comes off like this is what it is. It's a cheesy infomercial.
Good for insomnia.
Yeah. But, yes. Promoting, yeah, okay, you get for $49, or $46, whatever they're promoting, it's their $46 package based on I think it was Coach Plank, something to do with Coach Plank.
Oh, yeah, he was number 46.
Yeah, there you go,
46. Defense.
There we go. And they're offering a free championship ring, when they win the Arena Bowl. The infomercial came off as just that. I would rather watch Vince doing his ShamWow and his Slap Chop stuff, shtick. Oh, and the new Sticky commercial. Have you seen that one? The new Sticky one that he's doing now. Thank God, that's funny.
No.
TV,
when do we have time for that?
Yeah, I know. But I think it could be done better. I understand they were trying to cater to the people who didn't know that much about the team, but it seemed like it was more an ad for the Soul, but they also had to make sure that they got in their obligatory time for their main sponsor. Chucky's and...
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately,
I'm trying to remember what it is,
really,
but
has had no choice but to sell out to make some money. But, it's always been like that. It always has been. It really always has been.
Yeah.
Regardless of what era we've been playing in, the league has been selling out to somebody. And that, look, it's not the fault of the league. I'm not knocking them for it. This is how people make money.
But it's very possible they need to do this because it is necessary to... they're trying to sell tickets. I fully understand that. And be able to sell a flex package, if I think from that's what it is, flex package for $46 for four games, that's still pretty amazing.
Have you heard what they're doing down here?
No.
The Predators are offering free season tickets.
What?
And their advertisement is free season tickets, quote, with a catch. And on all the billboards is a picture of Kenny McIntyre making an interception, which is funny because he's not on the team. Well, he's a coach on the team now, or some sort of trainer on the team.
Okay.
Not an actual player because he finally retired. But the catch is you've got to buy I think it's a full year. It may be a full season parking pass. I'm not so sure. I don't even know what it's retailed at. But if you buy the parking pass, you get the tickets for free. Now, they're also doing another promotion.
Okay.
The other promotion is you buy season tickets, you get parking for free. Of course, I know the parking that you have to buy to get the free season tickets is in their fancy schmancy garage, which I think last time I checked was $15 for most events. Whereas I'm sure this free parking is going to be, you know, somewhere in some city 20 miles away that you're going to have to walk to get to the arena. But yeah, it's the Predators have always been known for their interesting promotion. This is about as interesting a one as we've seen. Free season tickets.
Well, they didn't Bushi do that a couple of years ago too when they last came back, or it was a
Arizona?
They had,
Had free game.
Yeah.
And somebody did that last year too. And I mean, obviously the Arena Bowl could have been a free game if you brought in a can of food.
Yeah, exactly. But as I said, we know it's about selling tickets. I mean, it's just that sometimes we wish that it could be done differently. I mean, you remember before in the years past, we're talking about league history, where the league would put out a promo tape for the league itself, trying to pull in, you know, different advertisers and stuff like that. You remember those?
Yep.
I mean, some of them have made the net. Some of them I have in my plethora of stuff going back for the league that was available. I think when NBC, you know, the commercials that they did on NBC, etc. You would think that, you know, all these new, you know, it's just trying to pull in some major sponsors. That I understand. You know, I think this is for the first time in years and years and years, Adam. I think. I can't confirm this. I was able to confirm it before we started tape. That I don't think Aaron's is part of the league anywhere within the league now.
You mean Aaron's might not be undefeated this year?
No.
Wow.
I don't think Aaron's is part of the league. We'll find out obviously when it comes to the ads, but I don't think Aaron's is part of the league this year. And that goes back to NBC days.
It's been a while. I mean, we've been watching the exact same commercial for it feels like 100 years now.
Well, at least last year it was different, somewhat.
Yeah,
somewhat.
At least they gave us some eye candy.
Yeah. Now I know, and we have another show next week before the beginning of the actual regular season, and we wanted to get everybody caught up. We will get more into the teams as the rosters develop, because as I said, it can be a little bit harder to decide on what's going to do what and what teams. But just for shits and giggles, Adam, right now, based on from what you have seen, and you know, I know as I said. We don't know the final rosters, and we totally changed our choices last year anyways, and I remember I was one who couldn't even make a choice of who was going to make it to Arena Bowl. I was humming and humming the entire time. If you were to give your top two teams from what you've seen, top two teams that have a chance, not to make the Arena Bowl, but has a chance to make the Arena Bowl.
Well, it's...
That's what I'm saying. We're leaving it ambiguous this week.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, you've got there any... You know, with this league, when you look at that Arizona team last year and you look at the Jacksonville team last year, what you saw were two teams that brought a lot back from good teams in 2010. And the good teams became great teams in 2011. You know, so I start with Arizona again.
Yes.
You know, they've got the coach, they've got the quarterback, they've got comparable receivers. You know, they bring in Maurice Purifoy. They've got a winning culture, and they've got a team that knows how to win. Obviously, you know, DeVito is going to have to stay healthy, all that stuff. I love Kevin Guy though. Great coach. Knows this game just as well as anybody else does. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, as a quick side note, since we are talking about Arizona, and by the way, I do agree with everything you're saying so far about the Rattlers. According to sources, Arizona, even though they have rebranded this year, got rid of their iconic Rattler, Arizona will be going back in some form to copper this year on the helmets. Sources close to the team have told me that they may be going with two helmets this year. Black and a copper helmet. But we'll see. As I said,
for them.
Yeah, I'm glad they're going back to the copper. It's iconic.
By the way, the new Tampa Bay Storm uniforms are ugly.
I like the new. I like the helmet logo. I will admit the blue has something to be. It's lightning blue, isn't it?
Let's put it this way. It is most certainly. Yeah, yes, it's lightning blue. It is most certainly not Dave Ewart's color. In fact, kind of like that. That red is definitely not Les Moss's color. The blue is definitely not Dave Ewart's color. Oh, it's also not John Gregory's color. Either.
Yeah.
He was just mad at him.
Yeah, you know what? Seeing John Gregory not in all either black and gold or you know, it's weird
red,
not seeing.
Black.
It. Yeah. Exactly. It's weird. But you know, you're saying Arizona. Sorry.
Yeah, and in the other conference, I mean, the South is so bad. The South is awful. You know, Jacksonville is going to have to totally retool, even though I don't ever count out Les Moss, because
No. This
guy just finds these players. Don't know where he finds them, but he finds them. And he's as good of a recruiter as there ever has been in this league. And he really, I mean, regardless of who the head coach was of the Predators at the time, they will always have told you that without Les Moss, the teams wouldn't have been nearly as good as they were. I mean, this was a guy who found Mishai Robinson 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that he was with the Predators and brought him into Jacksonville, and now look at what he is. But the rest of that division, I mean, between Orlando, Tampa Bay, and New Orleans, and Jacksonville, I don't think there are as many career AFL passes as Aaron Garcia. I don't think it's even close.
I think, though, of all the teams in the Southern Division, I actually think that New Orleans, they can't go any lower. I think New Orleans could be a very improved team.
Maybe. Again, who's throwing the football? But you know, with that being said, that this means you got to look somewhere in the East. And, you know, Milwaukee had a nice run the end of last year with Gino Gaudioli. Cleveland, you know, I'm never going to count out Coach Tony. He's a great coach. Pittsburgh, you know, they bring in Kyle
Allen. And Cleveland has a real owner.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yes.
So they actually do technically have the money.
Yeah. Amazing. But anyway, you know, you just go through the rest of the teams in the East, and at least at this point on paper, I'm not overly impressed. And then you get to Philly. And, you know, part of the problem that the Soul had last year is they had a lot of egos, and that included right at the top with their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Coach Owens, I don't know whether he wanted Justin Allgood, but I know Ryan Vanna didn't cut it either. And the team just never really got it together in spite of the fact that it's got all this talent. Well, now they've got Doug Plank, who is, in my opinion, one of the best coaches in the history of this league, even though he doesn't have a title. You know, they've got Clint Dolezal running their offense. They've got the quarterback that Clint Dolezal was coaching last year, mm-hmm. Dan Radabaugh.
Yeah.
You know, they've got Donovan Morgan, they've got Larry Brackens, they've got Jeff Hughley, they've got Tiger Jones came over from Dallas too. You know, they brought in what was the fullback from Dallas last year?
Had,
I don't know, 30 some odd rushing touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
They brought in Rayshon Kaiser. You know, they've brought in just so much talent that has played well historically in this league. I get it. That's the exact same thing they did last year, and they were terrible last year. But if Radabaugh even proves to be halfway decent, this looks to be the only team in the league, at least as of right now, that could get questionable quarterback play and still win the Arena Bowl. And there's something to be said about that. What you know you're going to get out of this team one way or the other, as long as Doug Plank is coaching it, is they're going to play hard. Those Georgia teams that were really good, and the one that went to the Arena Bowl and lost on the last second field goal, it wasn't just a product of a quarterback and three wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
That team played hard, and they hit hard, and they got the most out of every play. And in a league where the talent is not nearly as good, that's even more important.
Yeah.
You can take an average player and make him a great player in this league just by watching him effort and put everything into the play. And if there's anybody that can get the most out of their guys, it's Coach Plank. So if you had to ask me right now, I'd tell you Arizona and Philadelphia, but so probably would a lot of other people.
Okay, I'm going to go the opposite direction on this. I'm going to go with the two teams I think that are going to be the most improved. I know I mentioned New Orleans before. Right now, just seeing it, I really, with Aaron Garcia, I don't think you can really count out San Antonio. just because of Aaron Garcia's leadership. It's just going to be of who he's going to be able to specifically get into the same mindset with when it comes to throwing. I mean, we're talking the best quarterback in AFL history. Has over 1,000 touchdowns.
Oh, statistically.
Statistically, sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll still argue with you that he's not the best AFL quarterback playing right, you know, best historical AFL quarterback playing right now, but that's a different story.
Right. So I would say of all the teams so far, look at San Antonio, another team, and just because of the slight tweaks that they've made to the team itself and the improvements that they made, I think look out for the Pittsburgh Power. I actually think that they may actually make some noise. But
the Power made a great signing with PJ Barry in the offseason.
Yes. Oh, huge.
And San Antonio not only brought in Aaron Garcia, they also brought in, I'm doing this off the top of my head, they did Jomo Wilson. They brought in Robert Quiroga, who had a really big year last year with Orlando. I think they also brought in Willis, who I think was with Garcia in 2010 and then went to Pittsburgh, if that sounds right.
Yes.
So this is a very talented team. Of course, I asked the question, Lee Johnson as your head coach? I mean, I happen to know a lot about him from his days when he was coaching at Austin, but no AFL head coaching experience? Don't know. I mean, obviously, we know who's calling the shots on offense, and we know it's not Lee Johnson.
Actually, Sally Key also came over to San Antonio.
And he could play both ways. I mean, he
Jamar really Rant, Jamar guys. Ransom.
They definitely
Jason Willis, Jomo Wilson. Yep.
I mean, they definitely got rid of a lot of the crap that was playing in Tulsa, and they've brought in, you know, some guys who can play. And there's something to be said about that. Will it all work? You know, who knows? The thing about San Antonio is they're clearly in the tougher conference at this point. Now, thankfully for them, they're not in the West, where, I mean, everybody, again, this for the second straight year, looks pretty good in the West on paper.
Yeah. Oh, so it's going to be interesting. I said we got a couple more. I think we've got about a week or so until the rosters are actually going to be set. We'll have a lot more to talk about in the coming weeks. You know, we have a marathon to go, Adam, but I think it's going to actually be fun. I mean, it should be very interesting to see what the league shows us this year. Are we getting more, you know, consistency? What will be with instant replay throughout every arena? And one last thing I'm going to leave you with, and everybody can mull this over for the next couple of days or whenever we bring this back up again. So, Adam, now that the league looks like it has officially moved to Chicago, doesn't look like the league may be able to use Oklahoma State law to not put out an injury report each week. I'll just leave it at that. Don't say anything. I'll just leave it at that. So,
spoiler. I mean, that's a teaser for next week. I don't know.
It's just something to think about.
Yeah, you're gonna give me something to think about so we can talk about it next week.
Exactly. Obviously.
Well, by the way, six refs this year on the field too.
That's right.
And the Arena Bowl in New Orleans, because those are all things that you know got announced after our last broadcast.
Exactly. So it should be, and yeah, I said instant replay in every arena for every game this year, so it should be interesting. But Adam, again, thank you for joining me again, being my co-host this year. You're one of the most knowledgeable gentlemen I know when it comes to the league, and it's been obviously the last year, and it's been a pleasure to have you as my co-host. And Thanks for joining me for season 12. Oh my God, season 12 of AFL Tonight. Who would have thought? I didn't. I honestly didn't. So, we will see you again next week. Obviously, if there are any questions, concerns, comments, we have our message boards, we have our Twitter account, and our Facebook page. They're both / ArenaFan. Tim.Capper at ArenaFan.com. Adam.Markowitz at ArenaFan.com. Join us next week. We'll talk about the first week of the 2012 season. So for Adam Markowitz, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound off the net.